Get fast in-home Wi-Fi that you can control with Xfinity XFi. See who's online, pause your Wi-Fi, or even set a curfew for the kids. That's simple, easy, awesome. Get a limited time offer on Xfinity Internet for $19.99 a month for 12 months with a 1-year agreement. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. N7219. Restrictions apply. New Performance Starter Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Hey, our friend Sean Sticks Larkin is on the line right now. 20 years with the Tulsa Police Gang Unit. New episodes of Live PD start this Friday night, 8 o'clock on A&E.
Born December 7th in California, he is an over two-decade member of the Tulsa, Oklahoma Police Department who works as a gang unit supervisor. You can see him every week on the A&E series PD Cam, as well as on Live PD. And this Friday night, Live PD returns with all new episodes. Please welcome, friend of the show, Sean Sticks Larkin.
You've been hiding, man. Last time I talked to you, you were on your way to New York City. We were going to try to catch up at Rocklahoma, but you ended up being busy that day.
I was. That's a busy life, my man. Luckily, we had the last 2 weekends off. I got to spend a little time with my family and some friends here in Tulsa, so it was kind of nice. I missed the show, but it's been nice being home.
Man, it's how was your New York City trip for the big launch?
Always great. It's such a good thing we have going out there, and that's kind of become a second home. You know, I spend half my week in Tulsa and half my time out there, so it's always a good time out there for sure.
I like it a lot.
Got to get you up there, hang out.
Man, I'm a big New York fan. There's so many great places there, brother, and there's a whole lot of trouble to get into if you want to.
That is for sure. That city, you know, they talk about it never sleeping. It's legit. You know, we finish the show at midnight every night, and we have a few cocktails after the show every time, and so by the time I get there, it's 1:32, and that place is still rocking everywhere you go.
I just got back off a walk around with a buddy. We ended up in Amsterdam in the red light district for a couple days.
Very nice, man. Probably should have had the police following you around there.
Dude, I got to tell you, the Dutch cops are the nicest cats I've ever seen. So I'll tell you what I saw. I put the video on Facebook. We're walking down a canal in the afternoon. We've had a few cocktails. We hear this noise, and I'm like, what in the goddamn is that? And I look across this little canal, and there's this shirtless, crazy, clearly insane guy. And he has got like a logging chain with a big lock on it, and he's whipping this car's ass. And it's a pretty narrow little street in the red light. And the front windshield goes in, then the passenger window goes in. He's denting this thing, and he's just walking in circles, you know. And everybody there is so like, oh, yeah, never engage the crazy. So nobody's talking. Nobody's even looking. You see the cops come up, and the guy's just staring at him. And then he gives him that, like, what the goddamn? You can see the body language. The guy just puts his hands against the wall, and then he arrests him. And then I'm watching him give him the, what were you thinking, mate, discussion in the alleyway. The guy's just hanging his head, and the guy's, other cops kind of got one knee down, and he's got his chin on his hand, and he's just talking to him like, what, why? Why are you making us arrest you? I was stunned by how easily the arrest went and how the cops didn't overdo it. And it was a fascinating thing to see in person.
Well, you know, there were definitely some officers that could take some lessons from that, from sure. You know, we see those videos from time to time. I'm going a little overboard at times. I got to ask you this. So I've been to Amsterdam several years ago, and I went with my brother, and I was a cop at the time. And I got offered, and I swear, cocaine 3 different times walking around.
Everybody.
My brother never got offered it one time, and I'm like, man, do I like this cokehead or something? Because I kept getting offered it, and here I was as a cop. And
no, everybody.
My brother, who was a civilian who could do it all day, you know, if he wanted to, was never offered.
I was in Amsterdam a few years ago, and the cocaine was so bad and cut with something so terrible that the government had put signs up, permanent metal signs, saying they do not buy the cocaine from street vendors. It's really, really bad for you.
And that's crazy.
Everybody tries to sell you. You walk down the street, you're like, cocaine, cocaine, cocaine. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was exactly. Everywhere you went, it was just like, open, man, cocaine. You need cocaine? You got cocaine. Want cocaine?
Yeah. And I come from that old school, you know, because, you know, I've got, like anybody else growing up, you dabbled in this and that. And I learned a long time ago, probably meeting a street person and then buying a stranger's drugs or giving him money for any reason is never going to turn out well. When I was a paramedic, we used to pick people up in KCK that were clearly from a much more affluent neighborhood about 20 miles away, just beat the piss in the projects. And I'm like, what were you doing down here, Cap? And he's like, oh, I got a friend. I go, You mean you stopped on a corner and the guy said, I'll be right back with your money, and then you just got your ass kicked?
And yeah, and you never saw your money or your dope again?
Yeah.
Well, especially nowadays, you know, with you know, and on a serious note, with, you know, obviously with methamphetamine and heroin and stuff.
Oh, fentanyl. But,
you know, or, you know, laced with fentanyl and things like that. I mean, it's a disaster out there for people that are just showing up trying to buy dope. You never know what you're going to get.
No, that's it. That's a fact. I mean, that's the interesting thing about Amsterdam sticks is that, you know, when you walk into a store, and I had a whole conversation about hallucinogenics and the truffles, the mushrooms, and psilocybin with a very well-educated, with a federally regulated packaged item in front of myself. Or you talk to the guys who, with the cakes and the weed, and they're like, you're an American. And they're very thoughtful. They go, you don't want this, because this will just leave you in comatose for a day.
And, right, yeah. You have to build up to this level, you silly American.
Oh, you see a lot of them laying there, just the same spot 2 hours when you walked around the corner before, just in the shrubbery, just waiting to get better.
Yep. Yeah, it's good times over there for sure.
Yeah.
So obviously, I didn't get to partake in anything, because, you know, for sure. But definitely had my fair share of looking at Amsterdam and good parts of Europe through the bottom of beer mugs.
Yeah.
So my brother and I, we had 11 days there and had a blast.
You ever go back, Excalibur Bar? I got a great friend, two bartenders there who are dear friends, and I will definitely connect you. You'll love that place.
Perfect. Sounds good.
So last time I was in Oklahoma, I'm on my way back. When did you guys legalize weed?
Last fall, for medicinal purposes only. And, but what's funny for a state that is, pretty much red every county, diehard Republican state as a whole, we have the most liberal, medicinal marijuana, eligibility to get a card here and to grow. And, it started last fall, last October, November, and there's, conversations going on for recreational use here, but we haven't got there yet.
So, wouldn't you rather deal with a pothead than a tweaker?
All day long.
Yeah.
All day long, for sure. I'd rather deal with a gangster than a tweaker.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man.
Yeah, seriously.
Just for the shut the F up factor.
Yeah, the guys that are tweaked out on methamphetamine, I mean, those are the, from just me as a cop standpoint, those are the guys that I worry about. They're not in the right mindset at times, and what they're going to do compared to a street gangster is totally different. So, and those tweakers, those are the guys that are out here stealing everybody's crap, breaking into houses, burglaries, you name it, they can get dope. So,
oh, Ed, you're right, because when you're in the grip, you can't even think reasonably. Like a gangbanger understands an action and consequence, whereas a tweaker is in the grip, and he's paranoid, and he's delusional. And that's the most dangerous thing you'll face as a cop, I think.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, I've been a cop a long time, and one of the things that we have seen in probably the last 3 or 4 years is some of our street gangsters are, obviously just because of the money, are getting into selling meth. But we're even coming across some of these guys that are using it, which just trips us out because it is, methamphetamine is historically a white person's drug. I mean, it is. And we're running across some of our black street gangsters here in Tulsa that we deal with that are using it or catching with pipes. And it's just something, 5 years ago we just never saw.
Well, there's drugs. I don't understand why they're even like meth. I'm like, everybody we've all seen, tweakers, their teeth, their skin, their actions, what they look like, what they sound like. Nothing about it seems fun at all. But then I also think about PCP, and I'm like, why would you use PCP?
I know.
There's never a story that starts with, we had the best time on PCP the other day.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. There's many stories that finish, though. I ended up naked in jail on PCP.
Yeah.
So that does happen.
And so that's a scary, it would never occur to me to try PCP. And I've done pretty much everything over, when I was a kid. I mean, we've gone through it all. But the one thing, I go, I've seen the videos, the naked dude trying to jump through the window.
It's a
terrible idea.
Yeah, when those calls go out on the radio, when you hear, it's November and there's a naked guy walking down the street, you get 3 or 4 officers to start heading that way because they know, okay, this guy's on PCP. It's just one of those deals for whatever reason people like to get naked.
Have you seen, speaking of drugs, if you're just joining the show again, Sergeant Sticks Lark, and you guys know him from PD Cam, Live PD, and then, by the way, July 12th, 8 o'clock on A&E, all new episodes of Live PD. Now, one of the things you're going to watch and see on this is always going to be, there's always going to come back to drugs. This is a very prevalent crime. What's that Russian drug called? What's Crocodile?
Yeah, I've heard about that. I saw like on some sort of a law enforcement bulletin. Is that the one that's like making people like?
It eats them, holes in them. You can see their bones.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you wake up?
And there's people who know what that does, and they'll still go out and try it.
It's like a heroin feeling. I guess it comes on like an opiate, but they're using it like red phosphorus and a bunch of these red phosphorus is what makes matches go. And they mix this stuff up, and it eats their way out of its skin. And there are junkies. Look it up yourself. Crocodile with a K. K-R-O-K. It's like O-D-I-L. And it literally, you can see holes in them, and they'll continue using. And you can see like a Halloween store. The entire leg bone, the entire arm bone, your jaw half eaten away. And they're still eating this drug. It came from Russia.
Wow. Well, you remember, I don't know if you know, but several years ago, methamphetamine used to be made with red phosphorus. It's called Red P Labs. And it was one of the ingredients used in it.
What a terrible drug. I mean, meth to me, I'm like, just put a billboard up showing their teeth. That should turn off a couple kids.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's funny. The one thing I found in life and traveling around and going to islands, I've been to an island that doesn't have a drug problem, and the people don't have a lot of money, but they can fish and they can farm and they can subsist, and it's a very wonderful place. The second you introduce cocaine or crack or meth, anything like this, it turns into a crime scene like nobody's business.
Yep. Well, you know, and not to have a debate about marijuana, and for anybody listening, I'm not here for a debate on that, but that's one of the things from law enforcement we see, and going back to what we talked about earlier about medicinal marijuana being legal here in Oklahoma now. Personally, I don't care about anybody smoking weed. That's just my personal opinion. But what the problem is because of the value of the money that goes with it, and there are people out there that, you know, like robbing people for the things of value.
That's a fact.
That's what we see now is we've got these guys that are getting, you know, medical marijuana cards, and then they go get weed, and then they get on Facebook or something like that to sell, you know, an ounce of weed, a zip of weed, and they're getting robbed and they're getting shot. And so we're working these shooting cases because people out here are just trying to sell weed. And it goes back to what you just said. For whatever reason, when it comes to drugs, and it doesn't matter if it's marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine, because of the money value, people, it does. You get the violence that does go along with it at times.
Now, well, and ripping off drug dealers.
I'm sorry?
Ripping off drug dealers is a good bet if you're a criminal.
It's a huge thing, yeah, because they're not going to report it. You know what I mean? And there's lots of, there's either going to have a product that's worth money or they're going to have money on hand, you know? But, it's one of those things, man, and that'll never change, I don't think, no matter where it is or what legalization goes on. It has a value to it, and people want to get that money.
I thought we were going to see something happen in Colorado when they were making so much money hand over fist when weed first got recreationally passed, but they couldn't put their money in a bank because it's federal. And so they were having they had to have guards and buildings and security, and we're talking about, like, you know, drug dealer money stacking up in cash in these rooms. And I kept waiting for the big story about somebody knocking one of these off.
You would think so, you know, and that's we've got dispensaries now all over Tulsa. I mean, they are everywhere. And I have not heard since last fall, I have not heard of a single robbery that's happened yet. And I know these places have their stuff set up pretty well to, you know, keep something back. I mean, it's not there. It's not out on display. You know, it's kind of like a bank type of deal to get access to everything in there. But I have not heard of a single robbery here yet either. So.
Yeah,
time, I suppose.
Well, listen, I found it fascinating. That's why I wanted to ask you about Oklahoma, because I was coming back through Pitcher, Oklahoma, because I always think that's a weird, interesting, dead town, and was coming there. I don't even know the town I was in, and I'm like, did that just that dispensary in Oklahoma? And I stop and I start to Google it. And I'm like, holy cow! All you got to do is fill out your information, and they'll just give you. Basically, you're like, I don't feel good, and they're like, okay, here's your card.
That's pretty much it. I'm telling you, it's very, very easy. So, anybody coming to Oklahoma, they are everywhere. I'm telling you, they are. They're like Starbucks now, man. We just find them on every corner. Got billboards all over the city. You know, home of the $99 ounce. That's a common billboard we see around town. No, I'm dead serious. That's a common billboard in Tulsa. I'll tell you the best name though, and it's actually right near my office. There's a dispensary called the Dankery.
That's
the best name ever, man. That's the best one. I love it. I'll take a picture and I'll text it to you guys today when I get into work.
Oh, it's hilarious. We were in Canada last year, taking a motorcycle ride to Nova Scotia, and we were coming back, through the country, and we got into this great little town. I can't even remember the name of it, but weed was going to be legalized by their government federally across the board in like a week. So everybody was gearing up for it, and all the stores were developing, and the store had a special on, and because Canada sells their government sells their alcohol. So you have to go to a state-run, basically, liquor store, and inside the state-run liquor store, the government is going to sell you weed. And they had a promotion going, win free weed for a year. I was like, what world am I living in? Like, weed for a year from your government. I'm like, this is a whole other planet. When I was a kid, we were terrified you were going to get 50 years for having a joint.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I'm glad that we're not putting guys in jail for weed anymore. And honestly, Sergeant, I'm not even a smoker. It just for whatever reason it doesn't agree with me. I'm a whiskey guy, but I am so glad to not see kids and people going to jail for weed. It's just such a stupid thing to go to jail for.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, even the regular, drug users. I mean, obviously that's a financial thing. We don't want to fill the prisons with drug substance abusers. And there's the argument that, as I said earlier, the tweakers are the guys out doing the burglaries and things like that. So when you do arrest them for dope, it does get them off the streets and they're not out, doing burglaries or robberies. But one thing we'll, talk about that is you watch live PD and you see the difference in laws across the country. Down there in Williamson County, Texas, which is around Austin and, for the state of Texas, you get caught with any of these vapes, these THC, wax seals or, it's a felony. And so people down there, are getting arrested, on the spot for felonies. And then other parts of the country, like Salinas, California, well, the show was also at. There's guys who get caught with, several ounces of weed, and it's like, hey, here's a ticket, have a good day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it does. It varies from state to state, for sure, and people need to be aware of that wherever they go, they travel through.
Well, I always watch cops when I'm traveling, like when I say cops, like actual police officers and the bobbies in England. I find it amazing to see guys walk, a lot of them, without guns.
Oh, yeah. That's not this guy, I can tell you that.
Well,
for me.
To that, so I'm in England. We go to this great little city outside of London to see what's called God's Junkyard. It was also a big neon graveyard area. And there's a really quaint little street. We got some lunch. It was like just like a perfect little village in a little England town, and there's a poster in the window, and it was a knife, basically a knife buyback program because there's no guns there.
It was a
knife amnesty bin is what it was called, and they were honestly saying you can turn in these knives. I'm going to find the poster because I was so blown away by what I was reading. I was like, man, that's where it leads to. But everybody knifes each other, that's the big move for England because there aren't any guns. But again, it doesn't stop violence per se, does it?
No, definitely not. I mean, there's all these studies that go over the gun buyback programs and all this type of stuff. And it's violent crime. It's just one of those deals. It's going to have its ebbs and flows. It's going to go up and down. And I've got 22 years, and I don't know the rhyme or reason. The last couple of years for us in Tulsa, our violent crime has been up, and we were at a historic low just like 5 years ago. So it's part of the cycle. It goes up and down. I can tell you this, though, is based on my experience, the violence from the majority of victims, it's choice of lifestyle. If you're going to be involved in the drug world and criminal street gangs and things like that, the likelihood of you being, the victim of violence is much, much higher than somebody who's not part of that world, for sure.
I will have to send you this as well, text you. It's a knife amnesty bin poster every fortnight from 2 p.m. till 6 p.m., and it gives the locations, Black Horse Road, Walthamstow Central, Chippingham, and all this. It says, bin your excess knives and make your family safer from binningknivessaveslives.com, binning to throw them in the trash. Bin your excess knives and imagine that's what the world they're living in now because they've gotten rid of guns. It's like now we can't cut our meat because one knife per household and only dad has it. It's in the safe, so when we cut the roast, dad will go get it.
And probably over there they probably throw in like a free.
I'm sorry.
Down for some tea and biscuits and a lager when you turn your knife in.
Exactly. So it's an interesting world when you go out and you take a good look at it. Again, man, Tulsa, you do a great job down there. I can't wait to see the new episode starting on July 12th.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Looking forward to getting back. Yeah, this Friday, this Saturday, and I actually fly out tonight when I get off work here. We're filming some more new episodes of PD Cam the next couple of days. So everybody look for those coming soon as well.
Man, get to Kansas City, or I'll come to New York, but let's find and carve out some time to hang a little bit.
Sounds great. You name it, I'm there.
All right, brother. Stay right there. Hold on.